When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Have you heard The Root of Evil?
No.
A journalist partnered up, I think, with TNT?
They know drama.
They know drama. Anyways, they got good funding for
it. Characters welcome.
Very funny. When you're here, you're family. Eating good in the neighborhood.
Mmm, toasted.
Oh no.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and the voice of Albert Einstein for the Scholastic Speakers of Pennsylvania, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, and I'm your party captain.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I'm going to be Cupid, and I'm going to shoot my sparrow at unsuspecting victims, and they are going to get hit and say, I'm in love. I was hit by Cupid's sparrow. Funny little bird, but he gets the job done.
You know what we do every week? We get together and talk about a topic about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week's topic is the Party Planning Committee, but we are going to start with a new segment we're calling Cry Man Squaw FNC Double Time.
Cry Man Squaw FNC Double Time.
Crisis Management Squad front and center, twice as fast as you'd usually go. This is to talk about an urgent piece of news, something that's going on right now that we feel the need to respond to several days later when our podcast releases.
An old show gets breaking news, but yeah. Here we are.
And of course, what we're talking about today is the news that Netflix is giving The Office back to NBC. The Office will no longer be streamable on Netflix after January 2021. NBC is buying it back for their own streaming service.
Plenty of time. Yeah. It's fine. No, that's not. It won't be.
So get your nails done and get your hair did. maybe, Karen, if you don't have one, maybe invest in a dress.
Netflix tweeted. Let's see here. I've got it right here.
Get that tweet.
On June 25th. We're sad that NBC has decided to take The Office back for its own streaming platform, but members can binge watch the show to their heart's content ad-free on Netflix until January 2021. Of course, what they're talking about here is that NBC's streaming service is going to have ads.
Can we pay to get them out of here?
Maybe.
That's what they say.
What do we know about this new service?
Well, they say that you can watch it ad-free on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know for sure, but if you were going to guess, you would assume that a streaming service would follow the Hulu model of having a version with ads and a version without ads.
I'm getting this from GameSpot.com, very reliable news source, that NBC is supposed to have ads on their streaming service, which, stinky.
GameStop knows a thing or two about losing property.
GameSpot, right? Okay, just to be clear. different. But
let's get back on track.
Let's get back on track. What I mean, I'm also going to quote USA Today. The Office has been a staple on Netflix and was far and away the most streamed show on the service in 2018, according to data from Nielsen. Viewers streamed more than 52 million minutes of the show that year, 20 million more than the second most watched show, Friends.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I mean, and not entirely surprising that this was going to happen. I would have expected this. This did not come as a big surprise or shock to me. I'm curious as to how you guys received the news. Disappointment, to be sure, because I've been watching The Office on Netflix for God knows how long or how many years, and I can only imagine how many of those 52 million minutes was me. You know,
at least the pie chart.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere, right? I think my sliver of the pie chart is similar to Michael's. Jim once drew a pie chart of how Michael spends his time. There's a small sliver for critical thinking. I think that's the same amount for me.
The total minutes.
Which is only to say that there's representation for myself within 52 million minutes.
Pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Michael Scott on Twitter. Well, at Michael G. Klump is the Twitter, okay. But is the handle. Right away, responding to that Netflix tweet with, if I had a gun with two bullets and I was in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and this tweet, I would shoot this tweet twice.
Very good. Yeah, I guess, how did you guys respond, or what was your reaction when you heard the news?
I saw it, it felt like it was only a matter of time that we wouldn't be able to watch it on Netflix in its entirety forever.
Yeah, I feel like I'd heard rumors a while ago that it's like it's not going to be on Netflix.
It's only a matter of time. I mean, you got to think about too, Disney is starting their own streaming service later this year. They'll release it. They're pulling all their shows from Netflix and all the Hulu, all these other streaming services. That's all the Marvel movies, all the Star Wars movies, ESPN content. I mean, you know, so
makes you wonder why, you know, or makes you realize, like, well, no wonder that Netflix in the last few years has been just pouring money into original content.
Yeah.
So that, and probably anticipating that a lot of this IP is going to leave their platform.
It's their most watched show, and their second most watched show is also not an original Netflix show. You know what I mean?
Also, so NBC show.
Also an NBC show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking of an episode of the Bill Simmons podcast where he talked about when he was with ESPN and Netflix basically paid for a lot of 30 for 30s, right? The ESPN documentary series. And at the time, they at ESPN were like, yeah, all right, whatever. Like, we're not going to show this stuff again or all the time or whatever. And then they realized later, Netflix was really smart and ahead of the curve by putting this content out there. You know, they paid for it, but how much value does that add to their streaming service, right, to have something like that on there? And then, to your point, like, they're beginning, Netflix is putting out their own original content, their own IP, because we're seeing these media conglomerates sort of pull their own IP back because the money is going to begin to come from streaming services. Pretty soon, it's going to be like paying for different channels.
Yeah.
Disney, it's all Hulu, ending, and HBO, and
it's
Netflix.
It's all ending right back where we started. Yeah. I mean, that's the maddening part
it's
about
it. It's cable,
this.
But you have to subscribe individually to every single channel.
Just wait till there's a store at the end of the block where you can pick from a limited selection of movies.
God, let's get back to that.
Yeah, everything's going back to the 80s, folks.
My first thought right away was, I think I'm just going to buy a DVD player and buy the DVDs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it.
And then it's safe, you know? Then I can take them down in the bunker with me when the end times come.
That's true. DVDs are known for their durability.
Where's the power coming from to power the DVD player?
Yeah, hand crank. Some sort of a bike, you know?
Yeah.
Think about the machine that Dwight had to deply and reply the toilet paper.
Correct.
Yeah.
Reply it. And NBC, too, doesn't get to just take the show back. They have to pay $100 million a year to get the show back.
To get out of their contract.
Even though it's technically property of theirs because they are in a contract.
A licensing agreement or something to that extent.
So, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, NBC knows the value of this show and knows that if they have The Office, people are going to subscribe. So would you subscribe to this service?
Our prices have never been lower!
I guess so. Would you consider subscribing to NBC's streaming service if they're going to have...
I'm going to have to, I guess. I'm not buying the DVDs.
If they're going to play ads?
As someone who already has the DVDs, easy cop. I'm subscribing. No doubt.
I'm subscribing and I'm paying whatever I have to pay to not have ads. That's just something I've decided to do. I went with the Hulu no ad. It's worth it.
That's what
it's
I do just, too. It's totally worth it. It's totally worth it.
I don't like watching ads. Yeah.
I know, but like I will, I continue to have Hulu because It's Always Sunny is on there for me at all times. And when I feel like rewatching Fargo. So I'll just always pay that because that's worth it to me. And I guess, I mean, if a subscription to NBC comes with a lot of other NBC shows, does Parks and Rec come with that? Then yeah,
right.
I'm absolutely subscribed.
Probably eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Butt liquor! Our prices have never been lower!
That was accidentally
easy, crap. Easy.
Sorry, that's not funny. That's too many times.
Put the safety on that thing.
Jeez, I really should.
I mean, I will say that as a diehard, The Office is enough for me to subscribe to another streaming service, you know? I have been trying to be very mindful of all the different ones that I do subscribe to. But I think it is enough of a reason for me to purchase it. And I have the DVDs at home, but like, here's the thing, like it's so easy to watch Netflix on your phone, to watch it on your computer, right? Mm-hmm. To watch it at any moment. Where if you have to like load the DVDs in your couch, like you're kind of locked into that moment. And mm-hmm. It's not the same as when you're traveling or when you're just like hanging out in a in an airport or something, right? And it's just not nearly as portable. My laptop doesn't even have a DVD, like a CD-ROM drive.
Nope,
you know?
Same.
Like it's not easy to rely on physical media anymore. So,
right.
Yeah.
I kind of saw this. It felt like this was coming when that Cozy, COZI.
Yeah,
this is like an app and streaming platform that is showing The Office. It was like this other. Oh. It was like, hey, we have The Office now too.
Interesting.
Oh, I don't know if it's in this. It might just be they're just constantly streaming episodes and it's like always going, which is like Adult Swim does that with their shows.
I think there are different ways that the IP for The Office has been licensed out. For example, The Office is always on Comedy Central now
and TBS. Yeah,
yeah. Like if you subscribe to cable, and I do right now, like. Office is always on Comedy Central.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can, there are different, and it only debuted there like a year ago. So there are different ways that the show is being syndicated out and spread around.
I did find the NBC press release to announce this, and they do say NBC Universal's ad-supported streaming service is set to launch in 2020.
I mean, I think too, let's talk about how The Office being on Netflix influenced people getting into the show who were watching the show and it was on TV. Like, I think it's important to note that so many people, younger people, people who didn't care about the show and it was on TV, were able to get into it because of Netflix and were able to get into it over the course of a weekend to binge it, in a way that we never did when we were watching as it aired live.
Right.
I've brought up how my parents like saw this all for the first time just this year. And that's just hugely because it was available on Netflix and they were between shows. And I was like, okay, I should just give it a try.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, they loved it.
You know how when people recommend a show to you, what is your first follow-up question? Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Right.
That's the first follow-up.
Am I already paying for the show?
Yeah. Okay. I'll add it to the list, right? Great. It's different if like you find, oh, no, it's only on FXX Plus. It's like, all right, well.
So is it on Hulu? Yeah. Or?
So are you going to share your password with me?
Maybe I'll watch it on a plane someday.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. And not only did people discover it on Netflix, I mean, you know, people have discovered so many other shows. I mean, I binged like, you know, How I Met Your Mother and Friends and all these shows that I had never seen on Netflix before. Of course, I keep returning back to The Office and rewatching it there. And I don't know. I don't know. The other question is, without The Office, how important is Netflix to you?
That is the really good question. There's certainly almost no... I never go there for movies.
Yeah.
I don't go there for many other shows. Maybe a Great British Baking Show from time to time.
Certainly.
Come holidays. I certainly... If something like Making a Murder is like, I want to be in on that.
Yeah.
I do enjoy the documentary series.
I've rewatched I Think You Should Leave many times since it's come out. Tim Robinson's new sketch show.
There's another season of that coming. No way. I'm not going to get rid of Netflix because that's a step I got to take.
Yeah.
So for me, it's the Netflix becomes considerably less important when The Office is not there. I don't know if you guys ever gone through your watch history on Netflix and it's like The Office for several pages, and then it's like I started this movie for 5 minutes and didn't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah.
But I think if The Office is on the NBC service, a similar thing that I'll do to scratch that itch is I'll go to Hulu and I'll watch something like Bob's Burgers.
Sure.
Or another sitcom or something like that.
Yeah.
Just me personally. You know, everyone Rick is going Morty. To go to their own things. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, I mean,
you can only do that for a little while until you got to go back.
Scratch not, that itch.
The itch is always there.
Yeah.
It's deep.
The it's off it. Always the off itch. Itch.
Yeah.
I got a fever.
I always think about that meme with the car like screeching off the highway onto the exit.
Yeah.
Start a new show, watch The Office again.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I mean, the news is devastating. I mean, we have a whole nother year and a half with it on Netflix ad free, but I think everyone's going to have to start thinking about what they're going to do, how they're going to prepare for this.
Warning! Warning! Warning!
Should have played that up top.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to say about this? Like, do you think your care for the show will change at all?
I'm worried that, I guess another issue too is like, I'm worried that it won't continue to reach young people if it's going to be on an ad supported
streaming
service.
Sound like an impassioned teacher.
That's right.
In our,
how do I reach people? These kids?
Through this podcast.
In our underfunded schools.
Through this podcast.
How will we continue to reach young people? Will our young people be able to watch The Office at a high school level?
Yeah. You know, what I wonder is, are we going to look back on these last 5 to 7 years as this period of like, I can't believe we just had all that at our fingertips.
Absolutely,
because
we will.
Really what's happening.
Absolutely, I do.
Yes. Like what's happening is The Office is moving back behind a wall again. Like, it moved past all these things to just being on Netflix, where one subscription gave you all this stuff, and now it's going to move back behind one wall.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually all these other shows are going to do that again, and it's going to keep regressing like that.
I wish this
is like for the next year, guys. Live it up. Live your life.
Yeah.
Watch The Office.
Yeah, guys,
all day,
guys,
on Netflix.
I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them.
Live your life.
Andy Bernard.
Live your life. Stay in more. Watch more TV that you've already seen.
Yes. But
the reason I say absolutely is because I already feel that way about other eras of the show. I've talked about this before on the show, but I caught up on The Office. I started watching in the middle of season 2, and the way that I caught up on previous episodes was by watching them all on YouTube without any ads.
Yeah.
Before YouTube had anything on it, you know? So, yes, we'll absolutely look back at this time as when it was maybe easier and more accessible to watch The Office, because at this moment in time, like, literally everyone has Netflix, right? As more and more companies or media groups or conglomerates begin to develop their own proprietary streaming services, I think it'll reach the point where people are like, I don't really need Netflix anymore for one reason or another, right? You know, besides that, like, it won't be ubiquitous forever.
It's
you know?
Gonna
Unless they
be,
make less stuff that's better, like HBO.
It's going to be, like, specific to Netflix is so universal. It's going to become niche. It's going to be, I like these shows, so I have Netflix. Right.
At this point already, I mean, I've been subscribing to Netflix forever, but it's like right now I'm watching stuff on HBO, so I turned off my Hulu for a couple months while I'm watching all my HBO stuff. I'm catching up on, you know, shows that have been coming out in the last year or whatever, right?
That's a life pro tip.
And then I'll turn off HBO for a while, catch up on Hulu stuff, right? But Netflix right now I don't even touch because I don't need to bother with it, right?
Right.
But
I do the same buying TV during the NBA season. Yeah,
like buying a sports package or whatever it is. I think people will begin to kind of turn Netflix off in the way that maybe they haven't before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
End of an era
in a year.
A year and a half.
Yeah. In a year and a half, yeah.
It's fine.
Let's jump into our topic for today, the Party Planning Committee. The Party Planning Committee, of course, throughout the series of the show, is responsible for planning all the parties that happen in the office. Okay, we're not talking about any parties that happen outside of the office, just the ones that happen in the office.
We'll talk about those off-campus parties.
We will.
But not in this episode.
Someday. I have like a list of 23 parties.
Whoa!
That's a lot. I don't think I caught them all either.
You got to catch them all. Just like Pokemon. When we were looking at ideas, I was trying to think of concepts or ideas or themes that kind of unite all nine seasons, and parties is one that kind of does. There are party episodes in every season for different holidays, for different moments and occasions, right? And I think, in fact, we noticed so many as we were kind of pooling episodes to watch and go back to that we had to actually kind of segment some of them off. So, like, parties that we're an easy delineation that we were able to make is parties that happen in the office versus parties that happen outside of the office. Mm-hmm. As you get to later seasons, you get things like the dinner party, the viewing party, cocktails, you get the pool party, you get the garden party, there the, you know, Dwight and Angela's wedding, whatever you want to call it. But there are so many reasons that parties are a good plot device for The Office, right? That it comes up so often. So I think for our purposes here, we're going to zero in on parties that happen specifically in the context of the office building, in the conference room with, you know, cookies or cupcakes, mm-hmm. or double fudge brownies and Angela.
Double fudge brownies.
And it's so much in the DNA of Michael. Like, of course, office parties would probably be his number one work duty, he considers, is like,
it seems like
if the office is his family and these are his friends, these are the only parties he has.
The only time that Michael seems to really practice micromanagement, is that what it's called?
Microgement,
thank you. is during party planning.
Yes.
It seems. And I'm going to copy the good people who contribute to Dunderpedia here. And
they do great work.
They do great work there. You can break the parties up into the party planning committee up into different eras. Okay, you got the Angela Martin first era.
The OG.
For the first four seasons. Then, of course, Phyllis Vance takes over after that.
The usurper.
For season five. Most of season five. And then Jim and Dwight take over for a short period between five and six.
Co-managers.
Chaos.
And then Angela takes control again.
Lannisters are back on top.
There are a few parties that happen before the show begins. Do you know what they are, Edwin?
Like the 050505 party?
The 050505 party.
Why don't you just set fire to my whole trivia sheet, guys? Just light it on fire.
The tsunami fundraiser that actually lost money.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even have that one. Wow. The 050505 party, which happens once every billion years. There was an 80s party that someone mentions.
Oh yeah,
that Michael
we get
mentions.
To see a picture on like an office newsletter of them dressed up in those suits.
A pizza of your own, which was to celebrate the release of the film A League of Their Own on Laserdisc. which must have been
Is that a movie
long
Michael
ago.
Would,
that would have been 1993.
A deleted scene, perhaps.
Is that a movie Michael would really like? Probably.
Definitely.
I guess so.
Yeah, I could see
he
that.
He probably went through a huge Rosie O'Donnell phase.
Yeah. That's.
I could see Michael Scott being
as
a
do
huge,
we all.
Huge fan, yeah.
But of course, the first party that we get to see on the show is Meredith's birthday party, where Michael sets the stage for parties to come by making things extremely uncomfortable and trying to be the center of attention, right?
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.